Wait, let me look that up on the internet real quick.
TagCastPodcast.com.
Hey, Taggets, you got a combine or a tractor that needs serviced? Check out Complete Ag Resolutions. Today's episode is brought to you in part, as always, by Complete Ag Resolutions, offering you the best solutions in your agricultural needs. They're a family-based business where the customer always comes first. Check them out at facebook.com/Complete Ag Resolutions. Hey, Gatch.
Aww.
We're on Stitcher.
Stitcher.
You want to listen on Stitcher?
Stitcher.
Cause I'll still remember.
And now it's time for the TagCast podcast with Terry and Gatch. My name's Terry Guile.
I don't like your jerk off name. I don't like your jerk off face. I don't like your jerk off behavior. And I don't like you. Jerk off.
See, because I paid a link for weed like in the 70s and I never got the real one back.
You just got tagged.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
I heard in Hawaii, your spam email is your good email.
The TagCast podcast starts right now.
Is that close to Pablo Cruz, Motley Cruz?
Hey, we could have all bands with Cruz. It's the Cruz Cruz with Motley Cruz and Pablo Cruz. And J. Crew.
And Motley Pablo.
Sponsored by J. Crew.
Hello and welcome to the TagCast podcast, episode 234.
Metal Church! Episode
34.
My name is Terry Guile.
I'm Gatch.
This is the TagCast podcast.
Hell yeah, it is Wednesday.
Happy hump day. Here's where they really get on it. Check this out.
I hear that's Max Headroom on the drums.
I don't know, but that was crazy Ronnie Monroe on the intro scream there. And when I interviewed him, that's how he talked the whole time. He was like, wow! Just kidding.
Nice.
So I don't know how many of you youngsters out there that listen to this are familiar with Metal Church, but they're a band from the 80s from Seattle back in the day.
Everybody knows about them.
Do they? They at least know the name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they broke up in the 90s and got back together, and then they got back together in 2003 with a new singer named Ronnie Monroe.
Nice.
And we were fortunate enough to get a phone interview with them thanks to our friends at Rock Out Radio.
Yeah.
After we jab your ears off for about 15 minutes, we're going to roll that interview and let you hear what Ronnie's up to. They're getting ready to embark on the 70,000 tons of metal cruise.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're going to let you guys know what's going on with that here in a second. It's actually a reunion show.
Mm-hmm.
They're not fully back together as a band as far as planning on doing an album or a tour.
Okay.
But they're... Well, you'll hear in the interview, he's going to be working on Kurt Vanderhoof to keep the church alive, keep the ball rolling. But yeah, they've been broke up since, I think, 2009, and they're getting back together for this metal cruise, which I don't know. A lot of people have heard of them. A lot of people haven't, but I know you've heard of them, Dustin.
Yeah.
They're a cruise that takes off from Tampa Bay, Florida, and heads to the Bahamas. It's a four-day cruise. And it's 40 metal bands just rocking your ass for 4 days straight.
But this would not be a good time to do that, would it?
Why? Because of the hurricanes?
Yeah.
Well, it's rolling out December 28th.
Okay.
So you got a little time for, but you know, pirates, Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
But do they want to fuck with 2,000 metalheads?
They do not.
They do, especially when it's like the metal church. You know, these people are here.
Yeah. If the pirates came up on them on that boat, they would be scared.
Oh, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll get to some information about that cruise, but we'd like to start off our episode like we always do on Wednesday and tell you guys happy hump day. Get out there and do some humping. And like as most listeners that are loyal enough know, Wednesday is our kind of a what'd you do over the weekend wrap up thing. Yeah. So what'd you do over the weekend wrap up, Gachalopagus?
I caught up on some Sons of Anarchy.
Ooh, cool.
The season 4.
Right on.
And then I was disappointed when I couldn't find any episodes of season 5 anywhere.
I did not get to watch Walking Dead yet, so please no spoilers.
All right.
All I've heard enough is that people cried. First time they'd cried watching TV in a long time.
I was not one of those people.
Well, you were sad though, weren't you? Just admit it. It touched your heart.
Well, as always, right, because I'm too lazy to turn the channel.
You had to watch it
really
4 times?
And I watched it 4 times.
So you're really...
And there's still some things that I was thinking about later on that I'm like...
It should have been this way.
No, that I was like, I don't even really remember what went on right there.
I fade in and out a lot when I'm watching TV. Like, maybe I'll go...
I like the multitask. Like,
what the hell was going on right there?
But, yeah, there's definitely... And this won't spoil it, but there's definitely, you know, that
some heavy drama.
The outside factors coming into this season, you know, they're seeing a lot more camps.
The new crew.
Crews around, and they're realizing that, hey,
they're
maybe
not
they
really
aren't
alone.
The only other survivors, and that there's lots of groups just like them that are probably willing to hurt just like they are.
Just to stay alive.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know,
all for all and one for one.
The defense kicks in.
Yeah.
But you better watch that before it gets spoiled.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it tonight.
Okay.
If I can make my wife. If she can't stay up tonight to watch it after I get home from podcast land, I'm just going to have to watch it with her and without her, and without her being first. So we've been going to watch it each night, and then something always comes up. So couldn't watch it Saturday. I had a show, and I actually got to re-meet J.D. Monroe, who is a recent Facebook friend, but old-time music dude from around the area. And
I saw
some videos that Jared Nelson Superfan took of Zenit Ra, I think that's how you say, Zenit Ra, with Dave Trinkle. Man, those guys are trippy. Did you check out that video at all on YouTube? Pretty cool. They played at the Kalapuya Brewery last Friday, and it was pretty sweet. And then on Saturday, Turntable Enabler DJ J.D. Monroe, which is weird that he's a DJ and his name's J.D. That's just weird. He was doing some pretty cool, he didn't have a microphone, but he had two turntables. We could have given him a mic, I guess, but we didn't.
Did he have two corn dogs?
If he did, they weren't in sight.
All right.
But he was scratching up some Zappa and King Crimson and some Sabbath and some Maiden, some Rush. What else can I have? Some Alice Cooper. That was pretty good. And he wouldn't do full songs, and then he would do the best he could as far as slowing down the tempo to match up the tempo of the next song. And it was weird hearing Sabbath and whatnot with, because he was actually scratching it up, you know, like wiki, wiki, wiki. Wiki, wiki, war pigs. It was like,
well, that sounds fun.
Yeah, and we had a great turnout there at Cloud and Kelly's. It's a small place, and I couldn't believe it. The next day, Blake said that 100 people through the door.
Wow.
I don't believe there was ever 100 people there at once, but I may be mistaken. I don't know. Everybody was watching the Beaver game, and then it had to start kind of late, and I kind of had to put up with Beavers. I felt out of place, but I dealt with it as well as I could, and met some new people, met some old people. I saw Brady Gregg and his brother who play for Blood Cobra.
Nice.
And I hadn't seen Chris Gregg for probably 20 years, so we got to catch up for a while. That was cool.
Right on.
And, did you hear? Totally off the subject, but I just looked at my list here. Dave Grohl on board for the new Queens of the Stone Age album. Joey Castillo has stepped away from the throne.
What?
Yeah, buddy. And they said
it's been a while since I wanted.
Yeah. I was just listening to that the other day. I almost deleted the what theme, but I knew I'd got to save it because we're going to have, so I should have had it ready for that. But yeah, also they said that after rehearsing and performing their 1997 debut for that last tour that they did where they're playing that album in its entirety.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that album came out in 1997?
Yes. Crazy.
Songs for the Deaf?
No. Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh, okay.
The original. Yeah, no. You were thinking the first with Dave Grohl. No, I'm talking about the original debut, Queens of the Stone Age. I believe it's self-titled, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, with Mexico. So they got together without Dave Grohl last year or 2 years ago now and toured and played that first album in its entirety because it was re-released with a couple bonus tracks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they said while doing that, it really kind of supercharged them back into what they kind of used to be more. Because Queens of the Stone Age changed over the years.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and they were all, I liked them, but I kind of lost a little interest around Era Vulgaris, which I think was their last release. It's been 4 or 5 years since it had an album.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty stoked. Dave Grohl's going to be playing drums, and they're kind of going back to their harder rock roots. I think Hami was quoted as saying more robotic kind of rock, which they were popular for on the first couple albums. So
robotic rock?
You know, dunk, 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 dunk.
Oh, okay.
They're kind of jerky and they're kind of robot-y. That's what we call it.
Right.
So, yeah. And then what shit? Monday we did Donkey Kong Comedy for the first time in a long time. Got to see Drew and Marcus and Bryce Jones did a funny little set.
Mm-hmm.
And I was noticing that he's on the new episode of the podcast.
Oh, wow.
Is that what it's called? The podcast cast.
Podcast cast
with Seth Milstein. So check that out. Our buddy Seth Milstein has his own podcast. Episode 2 is now out with a guest, Bryce Jones, and they talk about podcasts for like an hour and a half.
Wow,
it's a lot of podcast talking.
Hmm.
Yeah. And hey, you know what else we forgot? It's Wednesday.
Ooh.
We got a new president.
Oh, we do.
Congratulations to our new president. Barry O'Toole.
I know Barry O'Toole won by a landslide with the write-in votes.
Enough people wrote him in, so that was cool. Cool beans.
Straight out of Boston.
No, you kids know. We're actually here Tuesday recording this episode, and we're watching the TV as we record, watching the polls.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking like Measure 80 is not going to pass because most of the stoners have forgotten the deadline.
Yeah, that is true.
They marked the wrong box. They thought, no, prohibition. So they voted no on 80. They're like, shit, weed's not legal anymore.
Yeah.
But no, maybe next week we'll let you know who won.
I couldn't find a number 80 pencil.
Ta, you got to use a number 2 for your number 80.
Do you think more people would go out and vote if it was called scrote?
Scrote?
Yeah, like, hey, don't forget to go out and scrote.
I doubt it, because that has got a weird negative connotation.
It does? Like you're going to go and scrote? Like
you're going to go scratch a ball sack.
Yeah. Hey, you got a hanging chad on your scrote.
Don't forget to scrote.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To me, that means don't forget to clean your balls. Don't forget to scrub your nuts.
Well, you could get them both taken care of at the same time, right?
I guess.
They got those private booths.
Ooh.
Hey, there you go. More people would vote if each vote was finished with a happy ending.
Wow.
There you go.
People would probably
pay to vote then.
So while you're in the booth, you got someone working under the table, which is totally illegal by government standards. This lady's
working.
Well,
they need to change that.
She's working on the table.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they could have both, like, they could have somebody representing each party underneath there, like the last second fighting for your vote. You're just hanging in there going, oh, I don't know, just a little bit longer. I don't know. I can't decide yet. I'm still on the fence.
Scratching my head.
Yep. In watch out for that hanging chad.
Yeah. Something's gone wrong. This was supposed to be the church episode, and we're talking about getting happy endings in the voting booth. Maybe you could go to a church. I actually have voted in a church when I was young, when I used to be a voter. And luckily I saw a video yesterday by George Carlin.
Oh, yeah.
That says why he doesn't vote. And now I have a legitimate response because I was too retarded to come up with it myself. But can't remember it verbatim right now, but it's meaningless. Voting is meaningless, and you people who think that it matters, it doesn't. He goes, those assholes and bureaucrats just mix everything around every 4 months, and then they make you vote, and then you think that you did something about it. And the people who don't vote get crap from people who do vote that say, well, you don't have any reason to complain if you don't like the outcome. And he said, no, wait a minute. You voted for what you believed in, And that law came into fruition. So really, you're the one that doesn't have any room to complain about it because you're the one that voted. I chose not to choose. Mm-hmm. I let you guys make the decision.
Yeah.
So I do have the right to complain about your idiocy. And he said, maybe it's not the politicians that are so stupid. Maybe it's the people that's electing them.
Yeah, well, you know.
Boom! Dropping magic on
that,
you.
It was Geddy Lee that said.
Wow!
And he said, you can choose not to decide.
You still have made a choice.
Yep.
You can see through phantom fields and some celestial voice.
But that.
Oh, I found out some shit about those guys.
Oh, well.
It's not bad, but that made it sound like it wasn't.
What's going on?
Well, I was watching a Rush special, and it was pretty fucking awesome, I must say, as much as I don't think. But they're so good. I don't care, man. It was 2010. They still had some washers and dryers on the stage, but they'd abandoned the vending machines, which was cool. But they had some short movies that were like before and after where the three members were acting, and it was like comedy, dude. It was funny, and it was good. And then I started thinking about Max Webster. You ever heard of Max Webster?
Sounds familiar.
You ever heard of Kim Mitchell? So now, you heard of Trailer Park Boys?
Yeah.
Okay, I was waiting for you to find a question that you could answer yes to. So there was a song in the 80s called Go for Soda.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well go for soda, nobody will, nobody fly.
Now, are they going for soda or is it go for soda?
Might as well go for soda. Like, you might as well go. Yeah, they're going for it, but you might as well. So anyway, there was a Trailer Park Boys episode where they were getting wasted and rocking some Mitchell, which was Kim Mitchell, which I knew who Kim Mitchell was. Now, when I was a younger child, I used to listen to KGUN a lot, as you listeners might know, that listened to season one. And they once played a band called Max Webster, and they claimed that this was Geddy Lee's band before Rush. Not true. They just toured a lot together, and in 1980, Kim Mitchell was the singer of this band and the guitar player. Well, the guys from Rush guested on a song of the band, and it was like 1980. Rush had been a band for over 10 years, so just great to find out that other respected broadcasters, even from days gone by, still give out false information, including speculation and conjecture. Because it sounded like an older tune, and it's a pretty rocking song. I can't remember the name of it right now, but if you guys like Rush, which you might not, but if you do, check out Max Webster.
Max Webster, yeah. Emmanuel Lewis.
Yeah. Whoa.
Now, I had a girlfriend's mom ask me one time if I had, speaking of Rush, if I had Russian hands and Roman fingers.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know what she meant, and so I said, yeah, okay, sure.
And then she asked you if when you're in the bathroom, if you'll feel like European. These racial slurs aren't even funny. Okay, so before I forget, and before we have to get into this interview, well, we don't have to. We were blessed with the opportunity to interview Mr. Ronnie Monroe, and thanks to Christopher Chassie, or however you say your last name. Mm. Probably said it wrong. Chase? Chassie? I don't know.
Yeah.
But he hooked us up, and he's supposed to hook us up with maybe some more interviews, and I'm still going back and forth with Mr. Embry from Napalm Death. Hopefully next week we'll have an interview with him after we go see them live in Portland. But I'd like to touch on some of the bands that are going to be appearing on this 70,000 Tons of Metal with Metal Church. Some of you might be blown away. There's going to be 40 bands. I believe only 20 are confirmed. I didn't list all 20. I just picked and chose my favorite ones. Is that how you say it? I picked and chose. Some of you old school metal fans will remember bands like Anacrusis, that haven't been around for a while. Doro, Doro Pesh, that chick that's a metal chick from that band. Maybe they were called Warrior. I can't remember. Helloween's going to be there. Flotsam and Jetsam. In Flames, Dragon Force, Creator, Nile, Immolation. Ton more, plus Metal Church, and for one of their two shows on board, Metal Church will play their debut album, Metal Church, in its entirety.
Wow.
And the other show will be a greatest hit set.
Wow.
So, yeah, this is January 28th through February 3rd, I believe, in 2013, and so in whatever you want to call it, In honor of that, we're going to be talking here in just a few minutes with Mr. Ronnie Monroe from Metal Church.
You know what's great about having a cruise ship mixing music with closeness to water?
What? Oh, that's what it is?
No, you can...
What's the beauty of it?
You can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish.
Hey, that's an REO Speedwagon album. Did you know that?
What? The whole thing?
That name, yeah.
That long title?
It's got a fish and a tuning fork on the cover of the album. It might even be stuck in the fish. We should look that up, because my cousin, when I was a little kid, had that album, and it had a couple good... It was before they went totally commercially successful.
Uh-huh.
It was after Riding the Storm out, but like before... Heard it from a friend who...
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus? What does Jesus have to do with it?
Well, there's another friend.
Yeah.
That he heard it from?
I heard it from another that you've been messing around.
No,
but it was
like...
called that. REO Speedwagon. You can tune a you can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish.
You heard it from through like fifth hand, though, right? How many people
you heard it from? A friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another. You've been... So it's fourth hand news.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's telling her, so she's the fifth hand.
Yeah.
That's five. Yeah. 5 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
How do you even know that it's even, you know?
True.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he's trying to say. I don't want to believe it, baby.
Yeah.
I heard it from a friend.
But what you do is you go right to the source, which you did.
Oh, shit.
With...
She hung up on me.
Ronnie Monroe.
I think that's him right there. All right, I'm going to pick this up and you guys listen in on to... phone interview with Ronnie Monroe from... Jesus, phone? Stop, just a second. From Metal Church. Hello?
Yeah, is this Terry?
Yeah, is this Ronnie?
Yes, it is.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. Bye.
Oh, I'm doing good. Oh, I appreciate you calling me. We do a podcast up here in Oregon, or down here in Oregon. I guess you're in Seattle now, huh?
Yeah, Kirkland, actually.
I did some little background on you, and I found out, I hope it's correct, you were born in Tacoma, is that correct?
Yes, I was, at Tacoma General.
Okay, and where did you kind of spend your formative years? Was that in Tacoma, where you grew up as well?
Actually, I grew up in Fife.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, not too far from here. I went to school there. Actually, all through my school years, I stayed in the area. Went up into Milton for my middle school years and then came back down to Fife High School.
Right on. And did you eventually move to Seattle to kind of seek more fame in bands?
I've been around to different places, but really I never really lived in downtown Seattle. I lived in Kent, in Des Moines, and places like that, to where I was a little bit closer. But I spent a lot of time mostly there in the Fife area, and then moved over to Puyallup. But I've always been close to Seattle for game purposes.
Yeah, right. Okay, I was also noticing that you studied under a guy named David Kyle for vocal lessons.
Yeah, I did.
How was that experience? How was that experience for you?
Well, it was a great experience because David Kyle was a good man and a great teacher. And, I didn't go there for a long, long time, but I went there to get my breathing under control, and he helped me with that and with a few other things, and just made me a better singer.
Cool. I heard that he had some great techniques for stuff like that, breathing and actually freeing your mind to kind of let yourself hit notes and stuff that you wouldn't normally think that you would be able to hit.
Well, yeah, and that really comes with being able to relax.
Yeah.
You know, and there's tricks in the training to hitting higher notes, like dropping your jaw further down and opening up, using the mask of the face and the whole embouché. And yeah, he taught me a lot about that stuff, because I basically went in. I've been singing for probably 12, 13 years before I ever took a lesson.
Wow.
Because I didn't want to mess with what I thought that I had.
Yeah.
And then once I finally smartened up and went in there and took lessons from him, it opened up, a new world. And I was just like, okay, I've got to stop being closed-minded.
Yeah.
There's a lot here that I can learn and this and that. And that's pretty much what I've adopted, over the years, is the attitude that once you think that you don't need to learn anything else, well, then you're done.
Yeah.
is you can always continue to learn in this life. Every day is a learning process.
For sure. That's a great attitude to have. I like that. Next question here. I was wondering, how did you come to meet Kurt Vanderhoof? Was he familiar with your band Rottweiler at the time, or did you guys were just friends from Seattle, or what was that hookup?
Okay, the hookup there was through a mutual friend. I had done the Rottweiler thing and went over to Germany and played Wacken, you know, the world's biggest heavy metal festival.
Yeah.
And this guy, that was kind of really my first step towards the bigger time, if you will. And I knew this person who's actually his webmaster. Her name is Kat. And she had come out to see me doing, I was in a thing called Metal Gods, which is a derivative of Steel Panther.
Oh, okay.
I won't go into that whole thing, but they used to be booked by Perfect World Entertainment years ago before they were Steel Panther. And they were cookie cutter bands. And I was in the one in Seattle called Metal Gods. So that's where I met her. And long story long, she told me about Kurt Vanderhoof and a show that he was doing at this place that I frequented. And it was under his solo band, Vanderhoof.
Oh, okay.
Who he put out like two or three records. So I went and watched his band and noticed that the singer just wasn't cut out for, you know, that, I guess, it just wasn't the right guy is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
So I had mentioned to Kat that I would like to talk to Kurt. And then a few days later, I got a phone call from Kurt and asked me if I was interested in singing with him and did I want to come up and talk with him? And I said, of course. So I went out to talk with them, and it was initially for Vanderhoof when we first started talking. It wasn't about Metal Church. And when I was there, I just kind of kept bringing up Metal Church and whatnot. And then, you know, a week or two later, we finally got together as a band and went over some stuff you know, it was out shortly after that when he called me up finally and said, okay, you want to do Metal Church? And I said, yeah, of course I do. It's a famous band. And that's how that happened, man. So it was kind of luck of the draw, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So you were actually a fan of the band before you joined?
Oh, hell yeah, man. I had not all the records, but the first couple records with Dave Wayne. I liked Mike Howe as a singer as well, but Dave was kind of always the favorite of the two, because I was originally in the Metal Church when they first came out. You know, that first record, as everyone knows in the metal community, is a classic.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And that was big, you know, down here in Oregon where we grew up, and they came down and did some shows in Eugene and whatnot, and they were always great guys coming to the local record stores and doing signings for all the fans and stuff like that. And it was nice to see a band from the West Coast actually get a little success. And it's cool that you got to hook up with them like that when you were already a fan, because that's always a great success story when you get to hook up with a band you're familiar with and, you know, and get to actually do stuff with them, you know, go out and tour. I was wondering about when you're touring with them, are you guys more successful when you tour in Europe as opposed to, like, the U.S.?
Well, that's always kind of been rule of thumb, I think, for a lot of bands, how they always say, okay, we're really big in Bulgaria.
Yeah.
It's that whole European thing. And, well, here's the deal, Terry. You know, when the grunge hit, it kind of hit over there, but nowhere near like it did here.
Right, right.
You know how it did. It destroyed. And even Mike Reno from Loverboy was quoted as saying about Nirvana smells like Teen Spirit, ruined my career.
Yeah, yeah. And it wasn't just him, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't just him. It was everybody. I was at that time when that first happened, man. I was in a band called Far Cry, which had keyboards, great songs. But it was kind of, and we were winning a couple Battle of the Bands. We were at some labels looking at us. And, man, as soon as that freaking stuff came out, it was like the phone stopped ringing immediately.
Yeah, you know, all the labels were rushing. They're going to Seattle.
Everyone was forgotten about. And we're all just like, hey.
Yeah.
You know, what the hell? You were just talking highly, praising us for the last week, and now all of a sudden we're dog shit.
Yeah.
But that's just, you know, it was time, I think, for a change of the guard, as a lot of the musicians from that era would agree, I think, because it was just, you know, it was getting ridiculous. There just needed to be a different kind of music.
For sure.
So that happened. But anyway, to answer your question, the American fans are rabid, just right, like the European fans. But over in Europe, I think you just have a more loyal crowd. Nothing against American fans at all. I'm American. I love my country. I love the metal fans here. But you got to be honest with this whole thing. We're very jump on the bandwagon.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
What's the newest best thing? You know, that's what we're all about. And over in Europe, the metal fans are really about, they know every word.
Yeah, for sure. They're very loyal.
You know, they're very loyal. They know every word. They, you know, it's, I kind of got a couple times when I was over there at the first tours, if I messed up a word, you know, or something like that, you know, they're headbanging. It was like Beavis and Butthead. They're completely headbanging. And then I mess up a word and they stick their head up going, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then right back to banging their head again because they know.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of fan you got to love, man. That's a true fan. And don't get me wrong. There are true fans here in America, too. There's fans that sing along with the records just like they do in Europe. It's just that, like I said, they're just, I don't want to say more loyal. I don't know what I want to say here, actually. The fans are great everywhere, but in Europe, they just take their music a bit more seriously, I think.
Yeah, and I think some bands might get a false sense of more popularity because there's so many huge festivals over there. When they play over there, they're playing for huge crowds, you know, 50,000 people and stuff like that. You've got the opportunity to play for some huge crowds at festivals like that, right? What was your biggest crowd that you got to play for?
Well, that's a good point that you bring up too. The delusions of grandeur or whatever you want to call it. When you're there playing it in Europe in front of like 30,000 people and then you come back to the States and you play 35 in a club in Hoboken.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's a roller coaster ride, but, what was the question? I threw myself off track.
Oh, I was just, let's see. We were talking about the difference of touring in Europe and whether you guys were more popular over there. And then I said, well, what was the largest crowd that you ever played for?
Okay. You know, I'm thinking, oh, geez, I'm going to put a guess out there. Just to play it safe, I'm going to say 30,000.
Right on. Well, that's still pretty impressive, you know.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, but when you really, I can't be for sure, though, because at Bakken when we played it, 3 o'clock in the afternoon a few years ago. I mean, there was probably more than that there, but like I said, I'm just playing it safe.
Yeah.
So, but
yeah, and it's not a big deal.
Right.
Right on. So yeah, that's about enough of Metal Church. I wanted to ask you a few questions about some other projects that you had going on. I heard like last year about this time you hooked up with a Trans-Siberian Orchestra and did a tour with those guys. How did that come about?
Well, you know, I've got some friends that are in TSO. Yeah, as you know, if you've done your research, the band is basically sabotaged. It turned into this.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, Jeff Plate, of course, is the drummer on the East Coast, and he's been the drummer for Metal Church for a few years.
Okay.
Kurt Vanderhoof was with TSO. He was running sound for them on the West Coast for 6 or 7 years.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. Friends with Chris Caffrey, Joel Hoekstra from Night Ranger, you know, yeah, just... But anyway, how it came about was I'd been waiting to get in and audition once or twice before, like 6, 7 years ago.
Oh.
And for whatever reason, it just might, the timing wasn't right for me. And, you know, last year I got a phone call and kind of, I won't say from who, but somebody gave me a call and said, look, we think you should do a couple video auditions. So I ran out and bought a flip chair, got some songs that I thought I might want to sing and rehearsed and laid down some videos and started sending them to him. And the next thing you know, I ended up in Tampa, Florida, auditioning for Paul O'Neill, the head guy. And after 7 days of, you know, being poked and prodded there in Tampa, they finally gave me the gig. And that's, so I did last year's winter tour doing Old City Bar, which was basically playing a schizophrenic army vet. So I did that. And then because of that, they ended up asking me to take over for Jeff Scott Soto on the spring tour, playing the part of Mephistopheles, Satan, on the spring tour. So I did that, and then now I'm back with Metal Church and doing some other, you know, a couple other projects and whatnot, a band called Fire Wolf I'm doing a record with. But anyway, the TSO thing came about because of some friends and basically because I went in there and earned the job.
Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't know that you had had a history of auditioning for them as well. And that was one thing I was wondering, you know, they're such an awesome band and just what they do is just kind of unlike anybody else is doing. Did you find that job a little more challenging or intimidating than other projects that you've done in the past?
A little bit, because in both roles that I did, there was, not that they ever asked me to act, but there's a little bit of that involved, which is something I've never done before. I've never done characters.
Right.
I've always just done Ronnie. That's a character enough for me.
Yeah.
You know, so But going up there and playing those two parts, I took it very seriously. You know, I went up there every day, every night, and did the best I could, and they rewarded me for it. You know, I'm still in the loop. I'm part of the TSO family, and, you know, be considered for other things in the future with them, and we'll see what happens. But, yeah, it's a bit different than just going up there and, you know, screaming some heavy metal. It was more controlled singing.
Yeah.
And a little bit of a character thing going on there. So I'm very proud of what I did. It's, it was very cool for me to be able to have the opportunity to do it. And I'm proud of the job that I did. And like I said, I'm being rewarded from them, you know, because of the job I did. So I couldn't ask for more, man. It was a great experience, and I'm looking forward to being involved in the future.
That's awesome, because if anything, you know, that's just going to help your resume of more things that you can do. I noticed on your EPK on YouTube that you offer some acting as well and some voiceovers and stuff like that. So keeping your kind of hand in every little pot there that you can, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, this is what I do. I do this for a living, and because anybody in my position understands exactly what it's like to try to have an actual normal job.
Yeah.
And do this, you just can't.
Nope.
So we have to get our, you know, our hands in a lot of pies, and I just so happen to have that kind of voice that, you know, I'm able to do a lot of different things, you know, and that's God's gift to me, I guess.
Yeah,
so
it's a blessing.
I'm trying to do whatever I can, man, and just make money from my voice, and you know, without selling out too much. I mean, a lot of people would jump on that and say, "Oh, you're selling out." Is that? Well, it's like, well, if I'm selling out and I'm actually able to pay for the roof over my head and food for myself and my family, well, I'm not selling out.
Yeah, and even if they want to say that, well, at least you're doing something right because you're not swinging a hammer or, you know, doing a physical.
Yeah, nothing against that. I'm being successful at what I've trained myself to do.
Yep, and that's one of the most important things that you can do for yourself, you know. All right. Well,
exactly, dude. And there's not a lot of people out there that can actually say that they're living the dream.
Yeah, and love what they do.
I can honestly say that and love what they do. And I honestly, from a baby, from 1 year old, when I was, you know, irritating my mom by taking all the pots and pans out of the bottom cupboard and beating on them with spoons.
Yeah.
You know, at 1 year old, and knowing that that's what I wanted to do from such a young age, to actually be able to say I accomplished my dream and I'm living it. Not a lot of people can say that. So, and there's not a lot of money. I'm not rich or anything, but you know what? I'm rich in the fact that I am able to do what I love to do.
Yeah, and that's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, well, cool. I'd like to hit on a few points about your solo career. I noticed you have an EP and two full-length albums, and I was wondering if there were any major differences between like Fire Within and Lords of the Edge as far as recording techniques and production. Did you approach the newest album any differently than you did 2009's album?
Yeah, actually, on The Fire Within, I worked with Kurt Vanderhoof. He engineered and co-produced with me. And on The Lords of the Edge, I went a different route. Considering everything that's going on with the internet these days, and the stealing of music and this and that, for guys at my level, sometimes you have to go about things a bit differently. And what I did with Lords of the Edge is I did an internet project with a guy named Stu Marshall out of Australia. Okay. Stu is a friend of mine who I met through the internet a few years ago, and I've appeared on a couple of his records, Empires of Eden. He's a guitar virtuoso guy that brings in a lot of singers at my level to do the vocals on his albums. And that's how we met. So basically we were talking because he wanted me to do a song for him, and we struck up a deal basically for him to engineer and this and that and to write me some songs. And we basically did it together.
Cool.
So, and the quality of the mix and this and that is just, well, the things you can do these days is just remarkable.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
It really is. And with, you know, some people may say, well, that's cheating and it's not. Well, it's not.
No, it's not.
Not cheating. You're using what you've got, you know, around you. And especially, let's be honest, especially when people are just going to go on there and steal it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, still to this day, when I go to a show here in Seattle or wherever, you know, I'll get at least one person walking up to me for me to sign something. And you know, I've had a number of times where it's been people that have made their own flipping copy of my CD, even, and they make their own cover.
And then they ask
you. And they brought it to me to sign it.
That's kind of that's almost a kick in the teeth a little bit, isn't it?
Well, pretty much, yeah. It's like a slap across the face. But, you know, the younger kids and whatnot, it's mostly been them that do that. So, you know, the older ones have been around and they know. These guys don't. But the younger generation, they think music should be free.
Yep. Yep.
And I've heard a few of those songs, but I don't want to go into it because there's not enough time in the freaking day for me to go off on that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, but then they just don't know. And they didn't even, trust me, when that happens, I just look at them and go, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And they'll look right back at me and go, well, what?
Yeah,
what do you mean? What's wrong?
They don't even get it. Yeah.
No, they don't even get it. So how can you really be mad?
Right.
You're just like, okay, all right, but I don't sign it. I say, look, if you buy my CD and I see you around and you've actually got the CD that you bought, yes, I will sign it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, you kind of got to take it with a grain of salt and say that, you know, at least they are listening to your music and they're probably telling their friends, you know, so you're getting a little exposure out of it. But, yeah, it gets a little ridiculous after a while with the downloading. Did you do anything as far as releasing it differently, like a download package to be available to purchase online rather than buying the actual?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay, cool.
Yeah, I work with Rat Pack Records, and Joe O'Brien, he's really good about that. I mean, he's very good with promo and all that. But, yeah, he comes up with bundle packs and things like that. Because as you know, what we were just talking about, you have to, for people not to take your stuff, all bands are doing it. They're all coming up with bundle packs. Because when you can give away free stuff and this and that, that's the psychology behind it. That they're going to buy, people are going to buy the CD because they're getting a bunch of other stuff for free that they wouldn't have gotten if they didn't steal the CD. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, totally. It's like a reward.
Like a reward or something like that, which is pathetic that it has to be that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, then again, on the other hand, the positive is you're getting some cool stuff, you know, from bands that you might not have never gotten.
Right, right.
And for the collector, that's a bonus. So. Yeah, we always do different things, you know, bonus packs and things like that. And the same will be with Firewolf when we put that record out.
Right on. Cool. So you're busy with Metal Church right now. So does that mean there's no new solo album coming out anytime soon?
I'm not planning on anything as of just this moment. But as far as a release date or when I'm going to actually start laying tracks, but I'm constantly working. I've got like right. 4 or 5 ideas already for that next release. And I'll just back catalog those for now and keep working on the Metal Church thing. And I'm sure you'll ask about this, but the Firewolf thing is also a priority that I've got to get done here within the next couple months as well.
Okay, cool. And did Metal Church specifically reform for this cruise 70,000 tons of metal? Or did you guys just get back together just for the sake of getting back together?
Well, you know, since we've broken up, we needed to have our time away and do our own thing, do different projects. Kurt was really into getting Presto Ballet up and running and this and that. And then we've been talking about it because we've been offered this cruise for the last 2 years in a row.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And turned it down for obvious reasons because we were broke up.
Right.
But it was a few weeks ago that Kurt finally called, which we talk almost every day anyway because we're friends. But within one of our conversations, finally just kind of said, hey, I'm kind of thinking about maybe, you know, doing Metal Church again. And I, of course, was very interested in that. What are you thinking? And he said, well, 70,000 tons of that offered us to come out and play again. What do you think? And I said, well, what do I think? Let's get back together and do it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's a heavy metal cruise for, you know, that's a pretty cool thing. So, for right now, the plan is it's a reunion show. And then after that, we see how things are going to go, and which I'm sure things are going to go fine because when we were on stage, that lineup, that particular lineup that we're going on the boat with was killer.
Yeah. I've seen some videos.
Lineup, and we really played well together. So we'll see what happens, but I'm imagining we're going to do some things afterwards, but we're going to take it one show at a time.
Cool. Awesome. I would like to see, I'm sure as well, other Metal Church fans would love to see it go farther and you know, maybe a new record, but we won't go there yet. We'll just wait till the cruise, which I think is late January, right? January 28th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And I guess this is about the last point I want to cover. I thank you for your time. I heard a rumor that you were forming a band with your brother Mike. Is that true?
Okay. Mike Monroe is no relation.
Oh, okay.
And his name is spelled M-O-N-R-O-E. Mine is M-U-N-R-O-E.
I don't know if the guy was messing with me or not, but the guy that hooked me up with the interview, he works for another radio station, and maybe he's under the impression that that is true, but from the email that he sent me, he said, make sure and ask him about his project with his brother Mike. So sorry about that misinformation, but you are doing something with Mike Monroe?
Yeah, he's got a band called Black Mass Rising, and I did 6 tracks for their upcoming release.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I wrote and sang the songs and whatnot, but I'm not in the band. It was a project.
Okay, cool. So all right.
They're going to be looking for a singer and this and that.
And then you've mentioned a band a couple times now. Did you say it's called Firewind?
No. Firewind is Gus G's band. This is called Firewolf.
Firewolf. I'm sorry for the... Okay, I wanted you to touch on that a little bit and let us know what is up with Firewolf and what we should expect from those guys.
Okay, well, Firewolf is... Nick Layton, Paul Clapp on guitars, which both guys are very skilled players. They both give lessons for a living and whatnot, and are very fluent players, and they write pretty good songs. So it's straight-ahead power metal. We got 14, 15 tracks as of right now. We did a demo, and we shopped it around. We've got some interest and whatnot, and basically we're going to start laying the final tracks for the, you know, the final recording here within the next month or so. And then if we don't go with the label, which we've been contacted by a few smaller labels and whatnot, then we might just try to go ahead and do like a lot of other bands and release it on our own.
Yeah.
So we're excited about that, because being the connections that we have together and mine from Metal Church and over the past few years that I've gained, we're thinking it might be a good experiment to see what happens. And so that's what we're going to do, I think. I think we're going to bypass the labels and do it on our own. But it's good music, man. Straight-ahead power metal and a lot of screaming and a lot of great riffs and cool leads and this and that. So just people can keep watching my sites, my Facebook, writingtheworld.com and all that. And I'm always updating those, and people from my label are constantly updating all my stuff. So you can always find out anything you need to know about me and what's going on all my social media sites.
Cool. Well, awesome. I'll be looking for that. I'm excited to hear that new project. And also, like I said, hoping that Metal Church will do something more than the 70,000 tons of metal. We'd like you guys to do, if nothing else, you know, if not a U.S. tour, West Coast thing would be great. It'd be great to see Metal Church out and about again in the U.S. So, I don't know if you have any pull on that. I'm sure that you're pulling for it because you're excited to get back with them and do the Metal Church thing. So, yeah, let them know that the interest is out there and that we would love to see Metal Church back on the road in the U.S.
I definitely will, man. Like I said, one step at a time, but I'm pretty sure once we get out there and fire it up again, everybody's going to be on board and be wanting to do something else. So we'll keep you posted.
Cool, man. Well, I really appreciate your time, Ronnie, and we'll be airing this next Wednesday. So if you want to check it out, I'll send you some links on your Facebook or to your email, and you can check it out and maybe spread the word, and we'll get this out there for them, and hope that everything goes well with you guys. Like I said, hope to see Metal Church back out on the road. So.
All right, man. I appreciate the time, Jerry.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, man. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Wow, man, that was a great interview.
You think so?
Yeah, that was awesome, like, man. Okay. I want to go on that cruise now.
How much is it to go to that thing?
I didn't keep clicking on the thing. I went to the thing and said buy tickets and buy. It's got to be a couple $1,000. You know, cruises are. You'd have to get to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to. You know.
Yep.
And for those of you, I don't know. There's a lot of kind of what my more heavy metal friends would call like butt rockers. Some people think metal church is 80s metal. You know, they're power metal. He has strong. I mean, he's a very.
Yeah, man, but they're classic, right?
Yeah, it's like Maiden and stuff like that. Halloween, stuff like that. But some of the people that I know that are into death metal, though, like, say, the guy that I'm hoping to interview for next week, Shane Embry from Napalm Death. Anybody who's interested in that kind of stuff, I think it's the same company. They have this thing called the Barge to Hell.
Mm-hmm.
Same deal, cruise ship, 4 days, December 3rd through 7th, which is a little more sketchy because of the storm seasons, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you want to deal with pirates, but check out these bands, Artillery, Behemoth, COC, Hypocrisy, Napalm Death, Lock Up. That's two bands by Shane Embry right there. Municipal Waste, who's on tour with Napalm Death right now. At the Gates, Christian, Mayhem, Morgoth, Paradise Lost, Possessed, mm-hmm. Sacred Reich, Sepultura, Enslaved, Noctmystium, 6 Feet Under, Sanctuary, Sodom, and that's just like half of the bands.
Wow.
Yeah, and so it's awesome. Like total death metal annihilation, 2,000 metal fans, and I've seen the pictures. There's like a stage where there's a pool right there, and mm-hmm. you're like swimming and rocking out. People are like in the water, and they've got their horns up, their butts.
No, yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun, and, you know, metal is cruising along, it sounds like.
Definitely, cruising.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and what you said when we were off mic earlier about Motley Crue should have one.
Yeah, Motley Crue should have a
should
cruise
be a Motley Crue ship.
Yep. With Pablo
and
Cruz.
And I've noticed that three of these bands on this December 3rd through 7th Barge to Hell are bands that are currently touring, and I wondered why the COC Yob Tour had a break in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's because COC is going on a ship. They're going on a boat, motherfucker.
Why isn't Twisted Sister there playing You're now on a Barge to Hell?
Wow. Well, they would probably get on the 70,000 tons of metal ship. They wouldn't be on the one with... I'm surprised COC is lumped in with, like, Hypocrisy, Napalm Death, Lock Up. So if I get to talk to Shane, like I was so graciously blessed to talk to Ronnie next week, I'm
going
to ask him about... both of his bands, Lock Up and Napalm Death, going on the cruise ship, Barge to Hell. That's pretty cool for him.
Yeah, we're hitting the cruise circuit.
Yeah, I'd like to get on the cruise circuit. Yeah, I think that'd be freaking awesome to play a cruise ship. Actually, my wife, who isn't even down with cruising because it's dangerous, a Bermuda Triangle, a die at sea, pirates, being off of land for so long, she almost, I'd almost consider it. She said, that'd be so fun.
Wow.
Be so expensive, though.
It would be tough to get out there and then realize, well, wait a minute, I don't like the seasickness feeling, and then you're out there for 300 days.
Well, it's 4 days, but...
Oh.
And this one actually goes to a port mm-hmm. and stays at a place all day to where you can, like, tourism out, and maybe, I think, they maybe have a concert on land during that day.
Wow, right on.
I don't even know if I'm telling the truth or not, but you know one band who's not going to be there?
Who?
Kiss!
Thank God.
But today, Wednesday, hump day, November 7th, is Tommy Thayer's birthday. The replacement ace. I call him Replace Freely. Because I'm just still pissed that they gave away Ace and Peter's makeup to different people who aren't Ace and Peter. I know... They lost their place in KISS because they couldn't keep their shit straight and they were drug addicts and alcoholics and whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
They should assign different makeup. I totally,
have we talked about this recently?
I don't know, but it fucking really chafes my taint.
Someone else is, I think it was someone else that was talking
maybe at
about
work?
It. Maybe somebody else is ranting about that.
I've said it before and I'll say it again.
Yeah, all right.
I just pointed at Dustin in the studio.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he got intimidated for a second.
I did.
And that's the
I didn't want to hear it again.
and in case you guys don't know, Tommy Thayer, who is the new Replace Freely, or Fraley, I've always pronounced it Freely, but it's Fraley, like Haley's Comet, mm-hmm. Fraley's Comet.
Yeah.
So Tommy Replace Fraley Thayer. He was born 1960, so that makes him 52. Is that correct? Yeah, he's 52 today. Yeah. And do you remember what band he used to play in from Portland, Oregon?
Black and Blue.
You got it. And Jamie St. James, the singer of that band, now singing for Warrant.
Yeah.
After Janie Lane is dead. So Janie got replaced with a Jamie, and Tommy Thayer replaced Freely.
But the good thing, Steven Tyler, knows. Janie's no longer crying. Wait, that's
she's got
Van
a gun,
Halen, right?
No, Jamie's
Janie's
crying.
Got a gun.
Jamie St. James is crying, but Janie mm-hmm. Lane has a gun.
There you go. There you go.
Also, a happy birthday to our podcast brother from Vowel Movements, Danny Secretion from the Secretions.
Happy man.
Birthday, Danny. He's 40-something. We won't out him, but he's in my decade, so sorry, Danny. You know, I don't know if you know this. He's in a punk band. He does a podcast, which is a no-cussing podcast, which mm-hmm. is cool, but I can understand why, and this might amaze you, or maybe you know it or don't by listening or not, but he's a Catholic school teacher.
Oh, really?
A little elementary school teacher at a Catholic school. So,
well, that's cool.
Yeah. And he leads not a double life, but he balances it out pretty well. So,
right on.
Hope that they get a chance to listen as much. Yeah. We put out a lot of episodes, and I know you guys probably have trouble keeping up with all of them, but thanks for listening, those who do. Happy birthday, Danny Secretion.
Happy birthday.
And, oh, yeah.
So Secretion isn't his real last name?
No, his band was called the Secretions. He has a somewhat Mexican-Spanish last name, but I can't recall. It starts with an A,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not going to try to say it because I won't remember. Maybe.
Well, yeah, and you don't want to out him because he's a teacher.
Right. His name's Danny Secretion from the punk band Secretion.
Yeah, his name, they don't say Mr. Secretion.
No, but that'd be funny if they called him Mr. Secretion.
It would be.
Or would they call then him Father?
Yeah, the kids would call you call Mr. Secretion.
Father Secretion.
Yeah. Secroation.
And speaking of listeners and being loyal and being able to keep up on, I know a lot of you can't keep up
Kepi.
On. They can't Kepi. Ah, oh, Kepi. I've been transformed from Kepi to Tewi. Now I'm Tewi. But
nice.
A lot of people can't keep up with Kepi. They can't keep up on every episode. Really.
Oh, no. Make time.
Well, there's one person in our listening foiree. That's not even a word. But Hans Jochumsen, he listens every day. Every
Thank
day
you.
That we have a podcast, he listens.
Thank you, Hans.
And when we say something that's off kilter or wrong, he corrects us.
Yeah.
And if we say, all right, now we're going to see what's in Hans' CD player.
Well,
he
I
says,
would,
where's yeah. my theme song? He got upset. He texted me personally.
He
texted me personally.
I wanted to get a phone line so that whenever he has a correction, he can call us, and then we'll make that a segment. Hans corrects us.
Yeah. Hans calls in with corrections.
Yep.
So, Hans, this one's for you, buddy. What's in Hans' CD player? What's in Hans' CD player? What's in Hans' CD player? We're going to find out today. What's in Hans' CD player? What's in Hans' CD player? What's in Hans' CD player? We're going to find out right now. Thank you. Thanks to Dustin for putting that one together. And then he gave me some more to choose from. So while we talk about it, we'll listen to the morphed version. So today in Hans' CD player, we got Greg Allman.
Oh, wow.
Not Dwayne, but Greg.
And not Cashew, but Allman.
Oh, I think going backwards now. Anyway, he's listening to Low Country Blues by Greg Allman.
Uh-huh.
And that's not Greg Allman Band or the Allman Brothers. It's just Greg Allman. So.
Now, what was he doing by himself?
Solo albums.
Okay. He wasn't doing. He wasn't singing songs about Melissa.
No, I don't think so. That thing won't quit in the background. It went backwards and forward and fast and slow.
It's everywhere.
I haven't heard the chipmunk version yet, though. But we should just let it play the whole episode because then he'd feel better about himself. Okay. I thought it would stop at some point, but it didn't.
Yeah. What else? All right.
I don't have a theme song for what's in Terry's turntable, but I don't mind because
they're just add-on segments, right?
Pretty soon we'll have a song for everything, and our whole episode will just be theme songs for segments.
Mm-hmm.
I was going a little old school. One of the first, probably maybe the fifth metal album I bought with my own money at a store, Raven, All for One.
Nice.
It's really scratchy, and there's one song that I can't really play because it gets stuck in the middle and goes, and it like freaks me out. But it's got cool songs. Like I think one of my favorite on that album is Hung, Drawn, and Quartered,
yeah.
Which when I got that album, I hadn't studied enough history, I guess, to know what the quartered part was. Dude, you know what that is?
Yeah, well, that's where they quarter you, right?
They put four horses on, they tie a chain on each of your limbs, and then they go, whack, and the horses all run in separate directions. And
I've seen a video of a guy getting halved with two trucks.
Have that, will you? The two trucks?
Yeah.
Is it on Saw?
No, it was on the internet, though. E-bombs world, I think.
Right on.
It was back jungle stuff. His arms are tied to a truck, and his legs are tied to a truck, and then they both drove away from each other.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, I'm waiting for the day when me and Hans are, like, listening to the same band by accident, you know, but it hasn't happened yet. He's listening to Greg Allman, and I'm listening to Raven. We're usually, like, on opposite sides of the spectrum, so with a span like Greg Allman to Raven, what's in your junk drawer?
Well, I got many problems, but a junk drawer ain't one.
Is there 99 or 98?
Yeah, there is.
All right. Well, I put out a thing on my Facebook asking for topics, and I said, anybody got topics, questions, or comments? Mm-hmm. And somebody said, LOL.
That is a comment, though.
I said that.
Right?
First, I said that's not a question or topic or a comment. I said, well, technically, by Facebook standards, it is a comment. But for you laymans out there, what my post actually meant is we're going to be doing an internet radio show, and we were wondering if you had anything that you might want us to talk about. So we're kind of short on time for today's episode because we had that awesome interview with Ronnie Monroe. So we'll get to that on Friday. Mr. Robert Johnson had a topic for us, so I'm going to save that. He also did say that he would pay top dollar for a Terminal Happening CD, so we got to make that happen for him. He's wanting some old Void material. I'll sell it to you. I don't know if you listen or not, Robert, but you should, because your name makes you sound like someone who sold his soul for rock and roll or heavy metal. But I'll give it to you for whatever it costs me to make it, you know, a couple bucks. So I don't know if Lance or I will make it first. And if you're listening, $500. I said $5, $2, a couple bucks.
How many?
$2,000. And that's a fine price to pay. And if you're listening, Superfan Jared, I am getting those Domesticide old demos burned for you, and I will bring them to the Grief Hammer show.
Now how's he going to listen to them if you burn them?
Well, they're satanic, and my parents told me that I should burn all my bad CDs.
You guys had a pentagram on one cover.
Yeah. What would Satan do?
Yep.
I actually had Lyndon from 32 Pound Test. I've been giving out some Domesticide CDs just to, like, I gave Dave Wilson a whole box of them. So just give them to people at shows. If they want to give you a dollar, put it in your kitty for supporting local music. And so Lyndon's like, hey, I've been listening to that Domesticide CD for the last week or so. It's pretty good. I was like, I'm glad that some people can finally hear it as, like, it's not new in by any means because it recorded 6 years ago, but it's new to the people who haven't heard it yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, it's pretty good. And then my wife finally made the realization that half of 30 Pound Test is Azrael, which is a band that we played with back in 2006 or 5.
Is that Gargamel's Cat?
I believe so, yeah.
From Smurfs?
Yeah, but it was a metal band from Corvallis that contained Blake and Lyndon, both on guitar at that time. Now Blake has moved to bass and became a pretty much front man for 30 Pound Test. But those guys put on a great show. They played a new song that was instrumental that I believe they're going to add some lyrics to at some point. But I didn't notice before as I got a chance to actually stand in there and watch the whole show.
Standing up there.
A lot of their songs don't have a ton of lyrics. I mean, they do have songs with singing on them, but I think the majority of their music is instrumental. And that's cool because they all sing. And they all play an instrument, so it doesn't really matter if they're singing or just rocking.
Yeah.
And their range of tunes is pretty wide, pretty wide. I was talking to Zach after the show, and he's like, yeah, we've been talking about like writing a straightforward metal song that's just metal all the way through or punk all the way through. And we always have that idea. He goes, but once we get into writing, and we've just came to the decision that that's not going to happen. We want to, but it ain't going to happen because once we get halfway into the song, we're going to, what if we went like this right here? Take a left turn. And so I guess those guys are just the mix up the genre.
Yeah. Mix master 30 pound.
Mix master test pound. Oh, shit.
All right, I will.
30 pound test. I was thinking about fishing when we were talking about those guys. Do you ever think about fishing when you think about 30 pound test?
Yeah, sometimes.
a guy from Australian. He's from Australian. He was from Australia. He caught a 13.7-foot marlin that weighed a lot of pounds.
Yeah, sounds like it.
It took him 7 hours to reel it in. It's a blue marlin. It's supposed to go down in the record books. Could you imagine catching that big of a fish that caught you? It took him 7 hours to reel it
That's
in.
That's two basketball players back to back, right?
13.7
foot? On top of each other, yeah.
Yeah. That's a... It's way bigger. It's twice his size.
That's a fish.
I wonder how many pound tests he had on.
I don't know. Well, probably at least 50.
It doesn't say how much it weighed.
Well, at a certain point, they just use, like, string and shit, you know? They just use, like...
Barbed wire.
Rope.
There's a piece of rope with a big chunk of fish.
They use, like, braided lines, so it's, like, six lines, strands instead
For
of one.
For sturgeons and stuff that weigh, like, 100 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could...
Marlin, they're known for, like, jumping in your boats, right? Because that's the scary thing is they dive and jump in your boat and poke the hole in there like it happens in cartoons, remember?
That's funny. You know that guy was in a boat, right, when he caught the fish?
He's in a boat, motherfucker.
Yeah, but his name's Rowan. he was in a boat. Mr. Rowan Smith said he was fishing with three friends last Tuesday when he hooked the 13.7 foot marlin off Exmouth. Exmouth. That's a weird place. Exmouth, Australia.
Rowan.
So, congratulations, Rowan Smith, on your... if you were using more than 30-pound test, let us know, because that's what led me to that story. Other than that, I think we're probably almost ready to...
Yeah.
You got anything for us?
Oh, no.
You know, nothing?
No.
Oh, what about strain of the podcast?
Oh.
Did you forget about that? You got that? Just think of one.
No, I didn't. I do have one.
Maybe, let me guess. You got so stoned you forgot.
As a matter of fact, I did.
So we've added this segment. It's just a strain of marijuana that you can check out. And while you get that, I want to tell you something. My dad told me today there's over 70,000 people in Oregon who have their medical marijuana cards.
Yeah, it's like 2% or something.
Now check this out. Each of those 70,000 people are allowed to have 1.5 pounds in their possession. 1.5 times 70,000 is like 105,000 pounds. So there's over 105,000 pounds of legal marijuana in this state right now. And you know there's way more.
That's nice.
Okay, what's our strain of the day?
Bubbleberry.
Ooh, Bubblicious was just last Monday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Bubbleberry. Is that a mix between Berry White and...
No, it's origins are bubblegum and blueberry. It flowers in like 60 days up to 300 grams per plant.
60 days?
Yeah. Yeah, but this looks, it reduces depression and relieves headaches and migraines.
Well, doesn't
don't they all do the same?
Yeah, that's what I was. No, they don't. But depending on the CBCs and the THC, I guess. But
it was recommended for beginners. But people look up this Bubbleberry strain because, man, that looks like some good fucking.
Whoa, that does look good. I wish you
blue,
guys could
purple.
See it.
Purple. Yeah, you guys should go and check out Bubbleberry. Do a search Bubbleberry.
I wonder what it looks like because that's growing right there. I wonder what it looks like when it's all done and finished up.
It looks very. Very nice.
And, even though it is Wednesday and we don't have the election results, maybe we might know a little insight by next Monday's episode. But if not, it'll be next Wednesday and we'll let you know that weed is not legal because I just don't think it's going to happen to you. I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I got mixed feelings on it anyway.
I think that there's too many people that are against it, and I think that some of my friends were correct when they said that the government would probably take over and change the rules, even though the rules look enticing right now.
Well, they would have... it pretty much sets them up to do whatever they want as far as the commission goes, is the way it looked to me. They can set the price. They can decide who gets to have a dispensary. They get to decide who gets to register for it. Mm-hmm. They get to decide how much you can have, and they can change it at any time. And do we want that kind of regulation on it if we're going to have a legalized?
They ought to just keep it medical, I think, because if you do it right, you know, and grow your six plants, even if you just want to do it once a year outside and you don't want to spend a bunch of money for a grow room.
Yeah.
If you have a little area that gets a lot of sun and you don't think that it's going to get stolen, if you grow your six plants, you can get a good 5-6 pounds, and that's way more than you need for the year.
Get your card, get a grower.
That's right, there or grow it yourself. And make your significant other or your best friend your caregiver. That way they can have the pound and a half in their possession as well. And we'll all stay out of jail, and we'll all stay high and medicated. And that being said, we'd like to thank you guys all for listening tonight.
Yeah.
Today, whenever you happen to be listening to it. Why does it sound so loud and over-modulated?
I don't know.
Oh, there we go.
But
that's way better.
Let's throw a shout out. Thank you to again to Ronnie Monroe.
Yeah, thanks, Ronnie. I hope you at least listen to this episode. Graciously accommodating us with a little phone interview, and we're going to get the word out there about Metal Church coming back to haunt us.
Yeah, you know it, right?
Join us again for Friday's episode, where we'll have a special secret guest.
What?
Yep,
it's the next president.
Yep. And you know who that is because it's Wednesday. Now, they probably won't even tell us for 2 more weeks, right? Because there's going to be hanging chads. And
yep.
I want a recount. Recount!
Ground scrot.
You guys get out there and do some humping. Have a happy hump day.
Rock on.
And metal in your scrot.
The TagCast podcast can be heard on iTunes,
Stitcher,
TuneIn Radio,
and our website,
TagCastPodcast.com.
You can also hear us rebroadcast on internet radio station Rock Out Radio on Friday evenings,
and CNEU Radio on Monday afternoons.
Find us on Facebook and review us on iTunes.
Help support our show. Donate directly on our website.
Or click on our Amazon affiliate link before you shop there.
TagCastPodcast.com.
I got plugs.
I got plugs, butt plugs.
Unfortunately, yes, they're butt plugs.
Butt plugs and plugs.
Don't be a plug in the butt.
Bathtub of plugs. That's right.
Yep. Hey, all you taggots, looking for something fun to do, or you're just going to sit around with a plug up your butt? I don't think you want to do that. We got lots and lots of shows coming up this month, so go check out some comedy or some music. Saturday, November 10th, that's this Saturday, at the Stonefront Tavern in Salem on Commercial. Your Candidate is a Loser comedy show with myself, Terry Guile, headlining the show. John Mink will be featuring, and Eric Alexander Moore will be opening the show. It's hosted by Bradley Peterson. It's a mere $2 at the door. Starts at 9 o'clock, and it's 21 and over. Come down and hear some political comedy from those first two guys, and then just come hear me tell my regular jokes. If you're not in Salem that night, go down to the Dixie Creek Saloon. Our brothers in Crimson Guardian will be playing a show with Brutos and Catechus at 9
p.m.
Plugs. And butt plugs are free at the Dixie Creek Saloon that night. You got to be 21, though. So, and if you're in Portland the next night, you should come with me to Napalm Death, Wehrmacht, Municipal Waste, Exhumed, and Attitude Adjustment at the Hawthorne Theater. $16, it's all ages, doors open at 7, the show starts at 8, and if heavy metal isn't your cup of tea, head over to the Ash Street Saloon that night on the 11th for the Down and Dirty Comedy Showcase, hosted by Patrick Perkins, this month featuring Shades Matheson, Boomer, Jesse Priest, Richie Stratton, Whitney Streed, and the very hilarious Ian Carmel. That's $5 at the door, it's 21 and over, and it starts at 9 o'clock. The next weekend, Friday, November 16th, we got Floater and We Have Guns at the McDonald Theater. It's all ages. It starts at 7. Well, the doors open at 7. But I hope you're a Republican because it's $25 at the door. $20 in advance. Get your tickets now or save your pennies because that's coming up in a few weeks. The November 17th, we got the Dixie Creek Comedy Showcase number 4 with Andy Andrus headlining the show. I'll be doing a set. Jesse Priest will be doing a set. Dustin Gatchel will be hosting the show. We'll be doing a live taping of the season finale of the TagCast podcast after the show. And it starts at 9:30. It's 21 and over. It's a free show. Donations are accepted, but not required. November 28th, it's the one-year anniversary of the Oak Street Speakeasy Comedy Showcase that Seth Milstein's been putting on. Wait, two-year anniversary? Two-year anniversary. It's got to be 2 years. Can't be one. I don't know. I'll figure it out sometime, but it's going to have sets from Derek Sheen, Xander DeVoe, Mac Chase, and Seth Milstein, who will not be hosting. He'll just be doing a set. It'll be hosted by Carmichael McGee. A $5 suggested donation gets you in the door, but if you're broke, you can get in for free. It starts at 9 o'clock. It's 21 and over. Like I said, at the Oak Street Speakeasy in Eugene, Thursday, November 29th, Willamette Valley local music scene and Dave Wilson are bringing some metal down from Portland to Sub-Zero, formerly the Platinum, in Corvallis with Kingdom Under Fire and American Roulette. Bikini will open the show. I don't have any details on that as of now. It's a Thursday night, so we'll keep you posted on that. The next night, it's Blake's Birthday Bash in Portland on Friday, November 30th at the Tiger Bar with 30-pound test, Awake, and We Have Guns, $6, 21 and over, 9 p.m. That will be a rager, I believe. Saturday, December 1st at the Dixie Creek Saloon, we got Hive Tyrant coming over from Central Oregon. With Dirt Clawed Fight and Sons of Dirt, which I don't know if that's related to the Dirt Clawed Boys or what, but those three bands will be playing at the Dixie December 1st. It's 9 p.m., 21 and over, free show. The next weekend, December 8th, more Doom at the Dixie with Ninth Moon Black, Witchosaurus Hex, Griefhammer, and Die Like Gentlemen, which is a band from Portland that's going to be coming down and rocking our arses off. Another free show there, as they always are, at the Dixie, 21 and over, 9 o'clock. Friday, December 14th, the Oak Street Speakeasy. If you've ever been there, you'll be surprised to know that Corrosion of Conformity will be playing with Yob and Saviors. It's 21 and over. There's got to be some specific details coming out soon about the tickets because I know that it's going to sell out. So, and if that's not your cup of tea or if you're not in Eugene that night and you're in Corvallis, Friday, December 14th, go to the Whiteside Theater and see 30-pound test open for Floater. Those guys are playing lots of shows around the area. This show is expected to sell out, so you want to get your tickets early. We'll have details on where those tickets are available by next week, I'm sure. And last on the list, probably my last comedy show of the year, will be the day after Christmas, Wednesday, the 26th of December, Oak Street Speakeasy with Seth Milstein and friends. I don't have the lineup yet, but make plans now for that Wednesday night comedy show. It's the day after Christmas, so... Did you hear all those shows? That's like 15 things you can go do. So go do something, you guys. Go check out some live entertainment. In the meantime, listen to the TagCast podcast at tagcastpodcast.com.
What plug?